All right, we'll go ahead and get started. I'd like to start with the hymn this evening, 312. Thinking of the second verse. We follow thee, our guide, who did salvation bring. We follow thee through grace supplied from heaven's eternal spring. 312. Somebody could start it for me. Thus the Lord's help. Our Father, we come to thee this evening in prayer, and truly thou art our guide. We know a verse in the Old Testament says that thou art our guide, even unto death. I just pray, Lord Jesus, that each of these young people here today, and older ones too, would seek and follow thee. Till they are taken home, or till thou dost give the shout. Preserve us, Lord Jesus, we do pray. In thy precious name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so for those who weren't here yesterday, I spoke about decision points. And I recounted, I think, six people yesterday who made decisions in their life that affected the trajectory of the rest of their life, and tried to touch on various aspects, I'll say, that each of you have or will face at some point in your life. The last one I wanted to cover this evening has to do with Rebecca, and this particular topic is probably geared a little bit more towards those who are older as it relates to finding a partner in life. But yet, I certainly, you know, for the younger ones too, might not be at that stage. There's certainly good things to learn from it as you think about that phase in your life. As I finish my talk, I obviously feel it important to talk about, you know, as we make decisions in life, how it is we discern the Lord's will. And so I'll wrap it up with a few thoughts with respect to that, because, you know, certainly we talked about various individuals who made, some made good choices, some made poor choices, but I just wanted to kind of bring it together to give you a few things perhaps we see in Scripture, and also, I'll say, through experience as well in my own life. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 24 for the account of Isaac and Rebekah. I'm just going to start by reading one verse to set the context here, and that is verse 58. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." I recognize in the context of this verse that they were asking Rebekah about whether her family wanted her to delay her departure. And the servant seemed anxious to get back to Isaac with his new bride, and so they approached Rebekah here. But I just want to focus really in that one question first. Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, "I will go." You know, the person that you will marry in life is one of the biggest decisions that you will make, and it will have a tremendous impact for your life, young person. You know, I understand here that this particular story is certainly a different setting in that Isaac isn't even here in the present, if you will. This was all done through his father, through the servant, to go search a bride for Isaac. But certainly I think the principles remain as to some of the things I'll touch on here. This is a very important topic. I'm sure those of us who are older and young people, you've probably observed it, that you've seen people marry who were good helpmeets for them, and also some who were not helpmeets for them. And I just wanted to touch on a few points here. And so I'm going to go back to the beginning of chapter 24 to just touch on a few things here. It's a very lengthy chapter, so I'm just going to really extrapolate a few verses here to emphasize the points I want to make. So we're going to start here with Abraham, and I'll just start at verse 1. It says, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of earth, the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." So here we find Abraham in the land of Canaan. He is very much interested for a bride for his son Isaac. And he gives instructions to the servant to go back to the area in which he lived, to his family, to his country, to his kindred, to take a wife for his son Isaac. And, you know, I'm going to make the application here that the single most important thing, young people, is that you find somebody who is a fellow believer in Christ as to a partner in life. Somebody, as it were, from your own kindred. We know that the Israelites were instructed later not to take a wife or a spouse from some of the surrounding countries, Moab, some of those places. The Lord was very clear on that point. And certainly in Corinthians, it's very clear that we are not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And to really make a decision to not only marry, but to date somebody who is not a believer is really to make a very, very poor choice in your life. I understand that it's difficult for you, as many of you in school, and perhaps there's not many young people in your assemblies, and a boy or a girl takes interest in you at school. It can be very hard to certainly say no to that, as certainly the interests and affections of others can be very appealing. But to really pursue that for somebody who does not know and follow Jesus Christ is to really make shipwreck of your life. You know, because if you pursue in that path and marry that person, I mean, you're really on opposite ends of the spectrum with respect to what, you know, your interests and your cares of life are. I mean, right out of the gate, you would be faced, obviously, with decisions about raising children and how to discipline and how to raise them, all these things. And, you know, there's countless examples where people have done that and it's been extremely detrimental. So obviously I'm being plain here, but I just want to make the point as Abraham, he wanted this for his son Isaac, that there would be somebody from his country, from his kindred. Certainly as a father and the fathers and mothers in this room can certainly, I'm sure, attest to the fact as to Abraham's desire for his own children, that this would be the case. The second point I want to make with respect to this is in verse 12. Again, I'm not going to read the whole account, but we know the servant goes out. He comes to an area which is really from the area Abraham is from. And in verse 12, he prays. And here he says, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city came out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. So here I just want to make the very simple point that as the servant went out, knowing what his master wanted, he prayed this prayer. And we know that the prayer came to pass. And so this decision with respect to the person that you will court or marry is one that ought to be blanketed in prayer. I was talking to somebody yesterday and they said how somebody they knew had prayed 4 years with respect to somebody that they had desired to marry, and the Lord opened that door. You know, this is a decision that's not to be made lightly and to be, as I said, blanketed in prayer. And that's what happened. We know the servant was certainly very specific, you know, and it came to pass in the following verses. We know that Rebekah came out to the well, and we know that when he asked about getting a drink, she offered not only a drink for him, but for his camels. And it was very clear that the Lord had answered his prayer. You know, this obviously is a sensitive topic. I know that many of you in here right now, I'm sure, are praying with respect to this as to who the person would have for you. And sometimes these answers don't come overnight or immediately. And yet, you know, the Lord did give a clear answer here to the servant. And we know that Rebekah was going to be a tremendous blessing to Isaac. But I encourage each of you, as you think about whether the Lord would have this for you, to be in prayer about it. Even those who may not be at this stage, you know, as I said, you know, there are some in this room who I'll say are at that stage now. But, you know, really for all of you, irrespective of age, something that you should be in prayer about. As a parent, obviously, we should be praying for our own children that they would find somebody who would be a helpmeet. I also want to point out the fact in verse 10, just want to make mention of this as to the fact that this was a very long journey for this servant to make. Very far, I mean, from the area where Abraham grew up. And so there was a lot of initiative put forth on Abraham's part to send the servant all the way back here because he knew that that would be what God would have. And I'll just say this, that one thing that does concern me, and I'm speaking openly, is that it seems to me that there's been a trend of a lack of initiative, I'll say, on the part, especially of men sometimes, I think, in this regard, to put forward, to seek, and to get to know people of the opposite sex. That's my own opinion, and some of you may certainly challenge me on that afterwards, but you need to get to know people. And I realize it's different today. You know, when I was a young person, we had hymn sings, and, you know, the thing of the day was that who are you going to ask to the hymn sing? It used to be a running joke. I remember young men, sometimes they asked over 10 different girls to hymn sings, and they would get made fun of for that. But, you know, in so doing, you've got to know people through that. You have to be careful, obviously, as to a young lady's heart. You know, for the men here. I do acknowledge that. But as I see, certainly people get older and they're single, you know, there needs to be some initiative, obviously through the Lord's leading, as to what the Lord would have for you, and not to be afraid to reach out and get to know somebody. So if the servant can make that type of a journey, certainly the ability to go up and say a few words to somebody, get to know them a little bit, shows some courage on your part. The next point I want to make is in verse 50. So we know that the prayer is answered. He asks basically to go to her home, you know, whose family she was. It was very clear, obviously, when he heard, you know, whose family she was from, that the Lord was answering the prayer very clearly here. But in verse 50, as he recounts his prayer and what had happened, it says, Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. It was very clear to them that this was the Lord's doing. And really, what could they say to that? And so they gave their blessing. And I just say this for young people. Seek the blessing of your family in this matter. It will be clear, I believe, to your family as to whether it is from the Lord. As much as it may be difficult, you know, maybe you're sensitive, obviously, to what your parents think. I hope that you desire your parents' input. But to seek their blessing in this particular matter is important. I remember very clearly my own mother warned me about somebody I had had interest in when I was a young man. And that person is not my wife. You know, I'm thankful sometimes for the warnings and also the words of encouragement from a parent as to this particular regard. You know, recognize that your parents have years of experience. They may see things from a different perspective, but their opinion matters and their blessing is important. You know, now, maybe old-fashioned, but I think it's even good for young men really to seek, you know, the blessing of the family with the person that they seek to court, you know, as to get their approval in that regard. I know it's not a popular idea today, but, you know, it's a good thing to have the blessing from their family as well. Well, Rebecca's family clearly knew that this was from the Lord, and you know, they acknowledged it for what it was. And, you know, they obviously didn't want to see her go. And as I said at the beginning, the servant was anxious to depart. And they called Rebecca. And that's where they asked the question that I started with. Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. If only it were this easy, right? I recognize it doesn't in the world in which we live work out this way. I know that I'm sure there's many a young lady that would only wish someone would come, you know, and seek their heart in this regard. And many are waiting. But, you know, it wasn't easy for Rebecca either to leave. I can tell you when I married my wife, Julie, we got married. She moved from the United States to Canada. We lived in Prince Edward Island. There were many days she just cried. She was so homesick. Her first cousin, supposed to be in our wedding party, Caroline Hadley, passed away 10 days before we got married of cancer. There were days that Julie just lied on the sofa and wept and wept. And that was our first year of marriage. It's not, yes, she loved me, but it's not always easy to move away from home and everything you've ever known. And that's not unique to her. I know I'm not speaking to newlyweds here today, but, you know, when that day comes for you, young man, you know, be sensitive to that. This is a major life change because, you know, the reality, if you marry somebody in the assemblies to which you go, more often than not, it requires a significant move on somebody's part, far from where they grew up. You know, with respect to, you know, my own wife, I thank the Lord every day for her. She's a tremendous blessing to me. It was about 20 years ago that I had asked her at Montreal conference if we could start dating. And we courted for about 2 years before we got married. And it was a very happy time. When her cousin got sick with cancer before we got married, I mean, that was difficult. It was very hard for me to enter into what she was going through. But that time was a time of getting to know one another, to know them for their joys, their pains, to see them happy when they're sad. And that's all part of it. And it's good to have that time to get to know somebody. Proverbs 18:22 makes it clear, it's often read at weddings, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord." And this is, as I said, one of the most important decisions that will be made. But it can be a wonderful, wonderful blessing to your life. Genesis 2, which is often read at weddings with respect to a helpmeet. Young persons seek a helpmeet. You know, my mom always often quoted the verse, "How can two walk together except they be agreed?" It's a very important principle. To have somebody that shares your convictions. But I will caution you that I think sometimes we strive for perfection. And as I think about people in that respect, you know, none of us are perfect. What I would say is desire a helpmeet from the Lord. Find somebody who's a believer in Christ and to seek them. I'm very, very thankful, as I said, for my wife, and I can truly say that she is my helpmeet. I will say this, and I certainly ought to say this, that Paul makes it very clear in the New Testament, though, that not everybody is called to marriage. And to be a single person for life may be your calling from the Lord. And Paul made it clear that, you know, that is a gift in a sense, that not everybody has to be able to live that way, but their life can be used in full usefulness to the Lord. You know, at the end of the day, the Lord Himself is the one who ought to be our all in all. And the Lord can be that one to you, young person. If He's called you to be a life of singleness, I don't think it's often talked about enough. But He wants to be that too for a married person as well, as to be that person who really you strive to follow, that He be you, to be, as it were, your first love. Well, I'm going to leave it at that, but with respect to this decision point, a partner in life. So again, just to recap, somebody who's a fellow believer in Christ. It's a decision that's to be blanketed in prayer, seek your family's blessing, and look to as to whether the Lord is in it, as to whether it be His will, and take that initiative. Don't be afraid to take that first step and get to know somebody. So I want to pivot now. I'm going to talk about another person that made a choice as well, and is kind of pivots to what I'm going to finish this evening with. Let's turn to Luke chapter 10, and this has to do with Mary and Martha. This is somebody who the Lord clearly said made a choice. And they made a good choice. In verse 38 of Luke 10, it says, "It came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve? Or left me to serve alone. Bid her, therefore, she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Mary hath chosen that good part. You know, Martha was somebody who obviously was very active in service and busy. And you can imagine her in that home. She was busy getting the home ready and getting the meal prepared and, doing everything that needs to be done to make sure that things are running perfectly. And, you know, it irritated her, quite frankly, that Mary was just sitting there at Jesus' feet. And why isn't she helping, Lord? And she was getting very frustrated. I think those words jumped out to me this afternoon when I was meditating on this. She said, Lord, dost thou not care? You know, at times it may feel that way, you know, but really this was born out of a heart that made her feel a little self-righteous, I'll say, and prideful. I'm doing all the work. Why isn't Mary helping? She was probably the personality that, you know, fretted over things perhaps as well. But the Lord said Mary made the better choice. And so as I transition to the last half of this hour, I really want to focus on the point that Mary was sitting there at Jesus' feet, occupied with Him, hearing His words. She chose the good part. And so as for the next 30 minutes or so, I want to share a few things as it relates to the topic we've talked yesterday evening and this evening about really knowing, how can you know the Lord's will? But to really know that, you need to know him. And Mary spent time with him, hearing his words and getting acquainted with him. And that was lost, I'll say, on Martha. And I want to read one verse in Psalm 119, 105, a very well-known verse.